So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning about dream big, talk big. Dream big, talk big. In the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 17, if you're there, say amen. If you don't plan on going there, say go ahead. And you wonder why you ain't got no power. But anyway, and it shall be. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And your old men shall dream dreams. Verse 18 says, even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit. And they shall prophesy. Look at your neighbor and tell them that we're in the last days. Now, and I'm not going to get prophetic on you, but we are certainly living in the last days. And if you don't believe that we're living in the last days, we're living in your last days. All right? But we're in the last days. And Jesus said that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Now that doesn't mean that one generation will be awake while other generations is asleep. No, it simply means that one generation's dream is the working application of the next generation. I want you to know, Sister Hazel Jones is with us, as which is her custom. And she is the last charter member of this church, which was started in 1932. So she's got a couple of years on some of us. But I want you to know that what they started, you and I are finishing. And what you and I start, God willing, our grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to come and finish what we started. That we are in the process of dreaming big and talking big. Come on, somebody. See, whether you realize it or not, Christians are not ordinary people. Matter of fact, I preached a message a few months ago on a Wednesday night entitled, I'm Weird. And you're weird too. And we're weird if, depending on who's normal, you choose to view us. But the Christian is an anomaly. They're not ordinary people. We're weird people because we're marked by the supernatural, or I should say we should be marked by the supernatural. We're supernatural people because we serve a supernatural God. And if we serve a supernatural God, I look for supernatural stuff to happen in my life. And if I serve a supernatural God, I look for the miraculous to take place in my life and the blessing to take place in my life. And the more that I live in the area of blessing, which is lining up my life with the Word of God, the less miracles that I need on a day-to-day basis. So let me go a little bit further with this, because Christianity, and I want you to get this, my first slide, Christianity, when properly lived, that's important. I should have underlined properly lived. Because everybody knows Christians who don't properly live the Christian life. We was at a funeral yesterday here at the church, and it's amazing when people die, everybody become Christians. Come on, somebody. Everybody becomes a Christian when somebody dies. We'll call brother, sister, and sister so-and-so, and they ain't been to church in 27 years. Was out in the club the night before, dropping it like it's hot. And then we're going to call them brother and sister when they come to the house of God. Listen, church, Christianity, when properly lived, changes lives, impacts globally, and alters reality. Well, Pastor, I don't quite believe that. Well, you're wrong. You got wrong belief. Because I do believe that. Why? Because when I came to know Jesus, and when I live a proper Christian life, and I don't mean prim and proper, but I live my life according to the Word of God, it changes my reality. Because I was once this, but now I am this over here, which is something altogether different. Well, Pastor, I come to know the Lord, but yet my reality hasn't changed. Here is the problem. The problem is many of us have to make a decision for Christ, and it's like when you invade a country. You land on the beach, and you fight the battle, and you win the battle on the beach, but the beach is not the interior of the country. And so many of us have settled on the beach of the Christianity and settled for just a portion of what God has for us, and we think we've conquered the land when we've only settled a piece of the land. You got to go into the interior of that country and settle it inside that country. I've come by to tell somebody that, bless God, you don't need to just stop just because you got saved. Now you need to go in and establish the kingdom of God in your life where it is not established. And if you will do that, it will alter your reality. I'm preaching better than your amen, but that's all right. Because most Christians will live and die and never enter in to the next level of Christianity. They will not live the normal Christian life. Because we say things like, well, that's normal. You serve God for such a time, and then you kind of grow cold. Well, that's normal. No, it is not normal. What is normal is that you go from glory to glory and glory to glory. You go from one victory to another victory. You go from one battle to another victory. You keep moving forward and moving forward and moving forward, and you get stronger and stronger, and you get more powerful and more powerful, and your faith begins to build on faith, and you begin to walk on the Word, and you begin to operate in the Spirit, and then the devils become subject to you. Is anybody hearing me in this house? Christianity when properly lived. But as for me in my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But not only are we going to serve the Lord, we're going to walk into the fullness of what God has for us. I've declared for this church, we're going to walk into the fullness of what God has for us. We're not going to stay around on the edges and the fringes and say a little dab, but do you know, God, we want everything that you want us to have. We call it forth in the name of Jesus. But one of the unappreciated operations of the normal Christian life is discussed right here in the book of Acts chapter 2. Well, Pastor, they're talking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. I know what they're talking about. But I'm talking about if we are infilled with the Holy Spirit, then why aren't we properly living Christian lives that are altering our reality? Some of us got saved, and if you've been saved for years and nothing has changed in your life, then I got to ask the question, what are you doing? You're still on the fringes. You're still camped out at the beach when you should have been going on into the interior. Am I talking to anybody? See, the new normal operating parameters for the spirit-lived or the spirit-filled believer is different than it was before you became a Christian. Well, what are the parameters, Pastor? According to Acts 2, then it ought to be prophecy, visions, and dreams. Now, I'm not talking about prophecy in the respect that, you know, we Pentecostals, our eyes roll into the back of our heads and we want to spout out prophecies. I believe in that. But prophecies is proclaiming what the Word of God said. The prophecy is I am declaring what God has already said about me, about my future. Now, I understand the gift of prophecy, and that's a little differently. But the reality is, too many of us are prophelying instead of prophesying. Too many of us are seeing what the visions of other people say about us And we're seeing the not only the visions, but then we're seeing the dreams that other people have for us. But you got to see what God has for you. The natural man, listen to me. The natural man will believe what he sees. But the spiritual man will see what he believes. That's what we've got to, that's what separates the men from the boys. That's what separates spiritual from unspiritual. That yes, I realize where I am, but where I am is not going to dictate to where God is taking me, because I see with my spiritual eyes what I cannot see with my fleshly eyes. Even though I see it one way in my flesh, I see it another way in my spirit. Well, if I don't see it, I won't believe it. Hogwash. What I believe is what I see. And that's the problem with some of us, is you haven't changed what you see. Because listen to me, did you catch it? One of the operations of the Spirit in the life of the believer is to ignite the dream center of the soul. See, the devil wants to keep you bound. The devil wants to keep you where you are. But Jesus wants you to get higher than where you are right now. God, he ignites the dream center of your soul so that you don't have to live the dilapidated life, stagnant life that the devil wants you to live. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That's the life that you're to have. More abundantly means above and beyond. Listen, Zig talked about better, the better life. That's what he wants you to have. He wants you to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you may say, but Pastor, that's not my life. Well, you got to ignite the dream center. Now listen to me closely. I don't think I have this one up there. But you'll never leave where you are till you see a place you would rather be. You'll never leave where you are till you see a place that you would rather be. See, dreams are so profound that they give us divine intelligence. They give us the secrets for deliverance, and they give us inner healings in your dreams. Now, I'm not talking about just sleeping dreams, but I'm not discounting sleeping dreams. Because how many knows you, God can give you a dream and a vision while you're awake? But he can also give you a dream or vision when you asleep. See, dreams are divine downloads of heavenly insight, heavenly intentions, and heavenly information. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, God can give you a dream and give you a download that changes your life. Listen, we were going to, just 2 years ago, about a year and three quarters, when we bought this property next door. That was a dream, but yet we were going to buy it. And let me just tell you, I can only talk about me. But when we were going to buy the property, I figured up, you know, the Bible says no man makes an investment without he counts the cost. Nobody builds a house. So I went and looked at the cost of what it was going to take for us to get into that building, blah, blah, blah. It was going to cost us around $4,000 extra a month above our mortgage. And I'm like, God, we could do that, but God, it's going to be so tight, and I just really don't want to do that, and blah, blah, blah. And if you remember, the day before, the woman of God that was here preaching pastor appreciation said that God was going to give me a plan. Well, I didn't have the plan, but I slept. I slept on it. Come on, somebody. I woke up the next morning. Those of you who don't know, most of you know, because I've been testifying about it, but we bought that piece of property that added only $600 a month onto our mortgage, and that property is paid for and clear. Come on, somebody. Now, what is that? That is a divine download of heavenly insight, intentions, and information. You got to recognize that God wants to talk to you, and sometimes he does it through dreams and visions. Point number two is this. Dreams are the seed for change. Dreams are the seed for change. Some of us have never changed because we've never had a dream. We've never dreamed because we haven't let God plant a seed. Listen to me now. We've got to recognize that nothing ever grows without a seed, and nothing ever changes without a dream. You had to see, whether it be a dream or a vision, you had to see yourself in a better place. You had to see yourself that I'm not going to stay this way forever. See, I saw myself as I will not be bound. I saw myself as I will not be addicted. I saw myself that I will not live the rest of my life poor. I saw myself that I'm going to do better. I saw myself God has granted me life. I saw myself I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to have joy. I'm not going to be all down in the mully crooks, because God has given me something worth living for. But he gave me a dream that I could be better, do better, and have better than where I was presently. My God, I'm talking to somebody. Come on, help me push, help me push. See, you'll never leave where you are until you see a place you would rather be. And some of us cannot see a place we would rather be because everybody around you is a loser. Oh, that's tough, Pastor. All right, let me say it a little nicer. You can't fly with the eagles if all you do is hang out with the turkeys. Let me go one step further. If you don't see anybody in your life, in your circle, that has a good life or that has a better whatever it is than you do, what do you mean? They have a better marriage than you. They have a better relationship with you, with God than you. They have a better financial situation than you. Then why don't you get around some of them and let it rub off on you and quit just wishing and quit envying what the other person has? Well, Pastor, I don't know anybody, because everybody in my circle of friends is Jerry Springer episode people. Well, you've got this right here. Listen to me, church. My dad was a great man, a great pastor. He was a good father, but he did not teach me to dream. What he did do is he taught me to just believe for average. It's no fault of his, because he had done so much more than his father. His father was a drunk. His father was an alcoholic. They were poor. I mean, they had an OR on layaway. And that's the way he raised. We were poor. And I thought that's the way you had to be, especially if you were going to be a preacher. I had to be poor, because everybody knows that preachers don't make any money. Or if they do make any money, then they're shylisters, right? That's what everybody believes. So I knew that I was going to have to be poor the rest of my life. And my dad raised me to be average. But the problem is God not only gave me a daddy, but he gave me a mama. And a mama would say, baby, you could do anything you put your mind to. My mama would say, baby, if you can believe it, you can achieve it. Ah, come on, somebody. And I began to believe what God said about me. I began to get into the Word of God. I'll never forget my life verse, which is this verse right here, John 10:10. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. That is my life verse. I'll never forget it. I hadn't been saved 6 months. I was up in the break room of my job, and I was reading the Bible, and I come across that, and it began to get down in me, Dr. Lemon. It began to get a hold of me, and I decided that I went back and I told my dad, I said, Dad, what does this mean? He said, what do you think it means? I said, I think it means that the devil came to destroy me, but Jesus said I could have life and have it more abundantly. That means above and beyond. That means that I can have a good life, that I can have better than what I thought I could have, that I could do better, that I don't have to live in a dilapidated state. He said, you're exactly right, son. And I said, you ought to tell your church people. And that's when my daddy said, well, maybe you ought to tell them. I said, no, God didn't tell me to preach. I ain't saying nothing about that. I'm just saying. But what I am saying is the Word of God got it down inside of me above and beyond my upbringing. Oh, my God, somebody hear me. Oh, you'll always battle with that. The devil is a liar. Ah. You'll always battle this. That's part of our DNA. No, it is not. If it's not in here, it's not part of my spiritual DNA. And I'm not going to have it in my life. I'm going to have the Word of God take precedence in my life. Without a seed, nothing ever changes. And without a dream. Listen, church. But here's where it starts. It starts with seeing a place you would rather be. But then you have to put action into the process. That's where most Christians fail.
is I wish I had it better. I wished. Well, wish in one hand, spit in the other. See which one fills up. I wish. What are you doing about it? Listen, I'll never forget it. My daughter is 22 years old now, so 21 years and 6 months ago. It was 21 years ago and about 10 months. So she was only a month old or so. And I was looking. I'll never forget the day that God changed my life in some areas. I was sitting in my recliner reading the newspaper I was searching the newspaper for a second job. I was pastoring here, and I was looking for a second job because we just had our second child. I don't understand this, but when we had my first child, I didn't have any insurance. Didn't cost me a dime. Our second child, I had insurance, cost me $5,000. Doesn't make any sense, does it? And so I was looking for a second job because why? Because I didn't understand at the time. I didn't understand finances. I didn't understand money. I didn't understand budgets. I didn't understand all these things. But I knew how to work hard. Oh, I got a leg up on some of y'all right there. I knew how to work hard. And so I was looking. I'll never forget it, the day that God spoke to me, Mark, and said, go buy a house. So I moved from the classified section of the want ads over to the real estate section. And I began to look. My wife came by and said, "Baby, what are you doing?" I said, "I'm looking for a house." She said, "Oh, praise God. Hallelujah." She said, "I'm so excited. We can afford a house." I said, "Nope." And her words were, "Ronnie Reed, don't play with me." She said, "I don't want you to talk to me again about buying no house if we can't afford to buy a house." And I said, you mean like you don't want me to talk to you ever or just about the house? She said, "About the house." I said, "All right." So I didn't mention it. And we went and began to look at some property. Me and, matter of fact, the old associate here, Ken Lee, who's gone on to be with the Lord now. We were looking for property for this church. And I stumbled along a government sale. And we stopped by that government sale. And we walked up on it. And I went, "Oh, good Lord." I said, "I wouldn't give them $10,000 for this house." Because, listen, y'all, I'm not exaggerating. Some of y'all remember, it was canary yellow. Oh, it gets worse. With Brady Bunch orange countertops. I walked in and it was brown carpet with white spots everywhere of where they tried to clean it with bleach instead of cleaning it the way it ought to be cleaned. It was horrible. And I walked inside of there, but when I walked into it, something happened. Because I can't see stuff like that. You know, my wife, she's a seamstress, so she can look at a pattern of material and go, "Oh, that would make a nice dress. Like makes a good blanket. I don't know." But when I walked in there, something happened to me, and I could begin to see it. What was it? I got a day vision. Somebody hear me. And I began to see it. And I asked them, "How much is this thing?" And they told me. I was like, "Hey." And I said, "Well, how much would that be a payment?" And we talked about it a little bit, and I was like, "Oh, wait a minute." We put a bid in it. Long story short, we bought the house. We bought the house, and bless God. And it was only like $40 more than my rent. Come on now. God gave me a vision. Now, at the same time, here, I got it, and many of you know this story, but at the same time, I began to do what I knew to do. I began to read books on finances. I began to read books on how to get out of debt. I began to get myself together. Somebody needs to hear me. You see, it's one thing to dream about it. It's one thing to have God give you a dream about it. But until you put some action on what God just gave you in a dream or what God gave you in a vision, then you're still no closer to the fruition of that dream until you start acting upon what you know. You can't just click your heels together three times and expect it to happen. You got to do something about getting the dream. You got to talk big. You got to dream big. But you got to do big. I wished I could tell you that we moved into that house and bless God, money just rolled in, but it didn't. My wife looked at me. She said, "I can do anything. I can do anything in that house, baby. But I cannot deal with them carpets. You're going to have to get some carpet." I said, "Baby, if I get carpet, we're going to have to go back in debt even more." She goes, "You heard what I said." So when I had one of them, I go, okay, I'm going into debt, I guess. I went into debt for $2,000 back then for re-carpet the whole house. Thing was ugly as, and I made the statement at church one day, it was ugly, and somebody came up and said, Pastor, which house is yours? So I told them where it was. They go, oh, I know that's an ugly house. I said, I appreciate that like a hair in my biscuit. Thank you, I already knew that. And they said, well, how much is it going to cost to paint? I said, I don't know. I said, I looked at the paint. It's going to be an extra $200, but I don't have that right now. But I'm going to get it. And they go, if that's all it is, don't you love it when people say, is that all it is? When it's everything to you. If it's all it is $200, I'm going to give you the $200 to go paint it. I said, I went and bought the paint. We had a paint party. And then when all the church people left from helping me paint, I went and repainted what they painted because it was crap. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. They come help you. You spent more time fixing what they helped. Big streaks and big globs of paint. I'm like, Lord Jesus, who painted this? How old were they? Anyway, I went on to say this. That we bought that house because, and I'm trying to talk about dreams here and visions. And I'm happy to tell you that we paid that house off. I don't owe anything on that house. Come on, somebody. See, that's what talking about seed, about a seed of a dream. But I'll tell you, and I'm giving God all the glory. I live in a better house than I've ever dreamed I would live in. I drive a nicer car than I ever dreamed that I could. I have a little bit more loose change than I ever dreamed that I would have. If I listen to all the naysayers and the thief and the dreamers that would steal my dream, then I wouldn't receive what God had. But I know that God said that He can do abundantly above all that we ask or think. God said that if we would delight ourselves in Him, He would give us the desires of our heart. So I've come by to tell you that if you're struggling today, if you're struggling with making your dream come to pass, you just keep walking, baby. You keep believing. You keep doing, and God's going to come through for you. Jacob had a dream. And some rabbis say that he saw the temple before it was designed and constructed, and he called the place, the dream, Bethel. But when Laban tried to trap him in a crummy career by constantly changing his wages, God gave him the answer to career advancement in a dream. Huh. See, here's the problem. When I wrote this down, I didn't put it in my notes, but I wrote it down. Here's the problem that we have created an arrogant people, because here's why. We've told our kids, this new generation, millennials and some of them, not all of them, but we have told them you can do anything. And they have believed the junk that we were peddling. Because they believe they can do anything. But here's the problem. We created an arrogant generation without the ability to do anything that they're arrogant about. And when you do that, that's where entitlement comes. And instead of the church influencing the community, we've allowed the world to influence the church, and we believe that we can have whatever we want and not have to work for it or sacrifice for it or do anything for it. If we just get somebody anointed enough to pray over us, it's going to happen. No, God said there's some things that you're going to have to put one foot in front of the other and walk it out. You might have to sacrifice. You might have to do without. But if you'll do what I've called you to do, on the other side of that trouble, there is another trouble, and it's called victory.
See, church, we got to recognize. We got to recognize it.
We have to realize that Laban was in a trap. Because those of you who don't know the story, Laban was his brother, was his father-in-law. He said, if you'll work 7 years, and he'll work off this payment and work off this. And every some of y'all work for that, for Laban. Because every few months, they change the labor. They change the contract. They say, oh, well, we didn't mean 40 hours. We mean that we were going to pay you 30 hours. Oh, we didn't mean that we were going to give you $12.75. We meant $12.75 for time and a half. They just change stuff. But God gave Jacob a dream, and he changed his career. He told him how to circumvent what Laban was doing because Laban was being wicked. Joseph had a dream, and it set the course for his life. Listen, by understanding a dream, he was promoted from the pit to the palace. Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Every great dream begins with a dreamer. What if Martin Luther King Jr. hadn't had a dream? I have a dream. We all know parts of it anyway. I have a dream that one day it started with a great dreamer. Here we are today, but we got multiple ethnicities sitting in this congregation today. And I believe it was because a dreamer began a great dream. Listen, God wants to use you as a dreamer to begin to dream beyond where you are right now. Quit looking just where you are and begin to declare that, bless God, Lord, I'm willing to do what needs to be done in order to get where you're calling me to get. Dreams, they say, are for the young, but that's not what the Bible says. It says your old men shall, or your old will dream dreams. Dreams that will need the next generation to fulfill them. Here's what it said in Numbers chapter 12, verse number 6. He said, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, shall make myself known to him in a vision. I shall speak to with him in a dream. Well, see, sometimes the only time that God can talk to you is when you asleep. Because your face ain't in Facebook. And your Insta ain't in Instagram. And your chat ain't in Snap. Come on, somebody. And you got to get away from some of those things. When I first started preaching, I don't understand it, or I didn't understand, I do now. When I first started preaching, man, I would pray and pray for hours sometimes, and I just couldn't get the message for that week or whatever the case is. And I would pray myself asleep, Brother Cash. And I would get so upset because I fell asleep while I was praying. I felt like I was being disrespectful to God. But the strange thing was, when I woke up, I would go to the computer, go to my legal pad, and I would write out a sermon. Right. And I began to ask God, God, why? And I heard a preacher say it one time, and I never realized it. He says, sometimes God got to get you asleep so you will shut up. So I can get a hold of you. And man, I changed it. Now listen to me. Don't try to pray and sleep at the same time. But I'm just saying, sometimes that's what God does. God appeared to Solomon in a dream in 1 Kings chapter 3. The Bible said in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream at night, and God said, ask what you wish for me to give. And we know the story, most of us do, that he asked for some great things. He didn't ask for his enemies to be destroyed. He didn't ask for him to have riches and for him to have fame. He asked for wisdom. And the Bible tells us that God said in a dream, because you didn't ask for riches or death of your enemies, I will give you what you asked for and what you didn't ask for, which was riches and fame. When Solomon woke up, he realized it had been a dream. It must have been so real that he thought it really happened. Anybody ever had one of them dreams? I woke up one day so mad at my wife, I was going to punch her in her head. Because I had to decide, was that a dream or not? And I realized it was a dream. I'm so glad I didn't punch her because she'd have killed me. I had to apologize to Pastor John one day because I fired him in my sleep. Because I come over to the church, and he had the baptistry filled up with water. And it's got a pump on there that circulates and heats it. And there was a bunch of teenagers in there with the bathing suits on, thinking it was a whirlpool. And my daughter was in there. Jamel was in there. Gabby was in there. Aaron. Who else? There was Reese. Bilby was in there. Several people was in there. And I woke up mad as a firecracker. Because when I asked him in the dream, I said, who said you could do this, Pastor John? And I'm sitting there, and I'm not exaggerating. I woke up and I go, did that really happen? Because if that really happened, I'm going to fire that joker. And I came to church that morning. I said, Pastor John, I want you to forgive me. He said, for what? I said, I fired you earlier this morning. He said, what? I said, I fired you earlier this morning. Sorry. But I realized it didn't happen. But listen, understand. God gave instruction. God gave counsel. God gave wisdom in dreams. Throughout the Old Testament, God set the course of people's lives by dreams. Consider Joseph. Well, Pastor, you know, that was Old Testament. Okay. Then let's go to the New Testament. In the book of Matthew, consider Joseph, who considered sending Mary privately away because she had become pregnant outside of marriage. But in Matthew chapter 1, but when he had considered this, chapter verse 20, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is from the Holy Ghost. He married her due to a dream. And then after the child was born, he had another dream. And they fled to Egypt. And then when they had another dream, and the angel of the Lord said to come home. See, listen, a dream is a vision of the night, but a vision still. Let me ask you, when was the last time that God gave you a dream? When was the last time God gave you a vision? When was the last time that you saw yourself a better place than where you were right now? You know, I'm reminded of and I don't mean I'm not going to embarrass him, but another a testimony of a man who told us that he woke up one morning and he looked at his boots and he said, a year from now, I don't want to be where I am today. Somebody listen to me. Decide, I'm not going to be where I am today. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to skip everything and go right. You don't skip and go past go. You got to go through the process. However, let me tell you this. As you do the process, God comes along beside you and leaves you handfuls on purpose. Ah, he leaves you handfuls on purpose as you begin the process. We want instantaneously, but if God gave it to you instantaneously, you'd get yourself right back in that situation. I can promise you, it took me several years to get out of where I was, but I'll never be back in that situation again. Job chapter 33, verse 14 says, indeed, God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. He speaks once or twice, and nobody notices it. In a dream, a vision of the night, when sound sleep falls on men while they slumber on their beds. Verse 15. In the Amplified Version, it says, one may hear God's voice in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on men while slumbering upon their bed. Thank God for that scripture. And then in verse 16, he goes, and then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, that he may turn man aside from his conduct and keep man from pride. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from passing over into Sheol, which is the hell. What are you saying, Pastor? Has God ever rebuked you in your sleep? Have you ever woke up the next morning and thinking, I shouldn't have acted that way? I shouldn't have done that. I got to go get it right. You know, for whatever reason, I don't sleep real good every day, every night. I'm usually up and down or in and out. But every morning when I wake up, and usually many times it's at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, when I first wake up, I'll have to check because, listen, I'll check, God, is this you? And I wished I could tell you that every day, every time it happens, God says, yes, my son, come and sup with me. But I've asked God a couple of times, Lord, is this you? He goes, no, I was sleeping. Now, I'm kidding. God don't sleep. And if it's God, I go and talk to God on the couch. If it's not God, me and the TV talk. Some consider dreams so dangerous that they discount them altogether. But is that smart? No, it's not. See, because here's the reality. You know, don't point at nobody, but how many people know folks who are spooky over dreams? Oh, I had a dream. Let me interpret that dream for you. Oh, yeah, that meant that you were going to give me $50. That's what that meant. Oh, yeah. Nope, I was wrong. It's 100. Yes. Listen, not all dreams are spiritual. Some dreams are too much pepperoni. Some dreams are too much collard greens. Some dreams you're too excited about going to Disney World. Come on, somebody. Some dreams is not God. If you live your life by dreams, you're going to be crazy, whacked out, spooky. And ain't nobody going to want to talk to you until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But each and every day. Pastor, what do we do then? You're saying, listen to our dreams. Well, I'm saying, listen to the dreams that God gives you. How do I know if it's God? Well, we travel a very dangerous place every day. Every day of our life, we get out on the public roads. And we travel, and it is dangerous. Especially if you ride a motorcycle. It is dangerous. Why? Because people don't pay attention. You ask any law enforcement, most accidents are caused because of distracted drivers. So too many of us are distracted about what God's trying to show us, what God's trying to do. But here's the deal. Each and every day we drive on these public highways that are very dangerous. When my children were 15 and before they turned 15, I went down to the motor vehicle department and got them a little pamphlet to begin to read about how to drive on public streets. It showed them the signs to look for. Y'all ain't hearing me. It showed them the signs to look for. The dangers to watch out for. When you see this, do this. When this occurs, do this. And then at 16, they went down and took a test. Or at 15, they went down and took a test. But the test still wasn't good enough. Because then they said, then you get in the car with an experienced driver and let the driver point out to you all of the things that you're missing. Like, that, you know, that was a stop sign we just flew through, right? You knew that, right? And if you're a parent like me, you know, you wore out the side of your car that didn't have a brake, but you was trying to brake. And you go, hey, 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 hey. That means something's going on. Hey, hey, hey. I couldn't get it out. Hey. And the more they drifted, hey. You ain't got no job, you're going to get a ticket. Who's going to pay that? Me. I was just better slow down. Hey, now you're doing 15 and a 55. You better speed up, we're going to get a ticket. And so what I'm saying about dreams, you look for the signs. And then you get along with spiritual people. I didn't say spooky people, I said spiritual people. You get along with some spiritual people and let them direct your path and help you to decipher if it's of God or not. I get it all the time as a pastor. Pastor, I had this dream. What do you think it meant? I have no idea. I'm not a dream interpreter. Listen to me, church. We train ourselves to drive. And we got to train ourselves to discern what is good and evil. We acquaint ourselves with the rules of the road and we remain alert. How can you tell the difference between the dream and a counterfeit dream if it's God? Well, years ago I was told that tellers study the real McCoy in a bill. And anything that doesn't line up with the bill is not real. Even if they don't know what's wrong, they know it ain't real. The problem is you trying to seek so many other religions to find out what's wrong. If you would just seek the word to find out what's right. And if it doesn't line up with this, then it's wrong. If it doesn't line up with the real McCoy, I can't put my finger on it, but it's wrong. You can train yourself to tell what's wrong instantly. Listen to me. I don't want to offend nobody, but yesterday we had a funeral in here, and people showed up, and I didn't know everybody that was here, and we had one guy got up, and I won't call his name or anything, but if you was here, you'll know who he was. He got up and started quoting something, and I was sitting way over at the end. I couldn't understand what he was saying, part of it, and I kept listening. I go, "Well, no, that ain't right," because he started saying, "Well, I hope that the man who died, I hope he did more good deeds than he did bad." There was a couple of catchphrases. And I hope Allah. The devil is a liar. And I hope Allah lets him in. So I was thinking, oh Lord, now what's going to be worse? Me get up in this funeral and show myself. Lord. But then the man who was doing the eulogy. I just want y'all to know that there'd be no deception. There's only one heaven and one hell. And you can't get there except through Jesus Christ. So he went ahead and preached. But I couldn't understand everything he was saying, but what I could hear wasn't right. Are you listening to me? Why? Because I know what this says. And the problem with us, so many of us don't know what this says. We just go by what we feel. And what you feel will take you down a wrong path that's not right. And just because you want to feel like your dream is of God doesn't mean that it is. I had a dream and the Lord told me to just leave my wife. The devil is a liar. I had one man, one preacher, and I'd use that very loosely, come to me one day and said, the Lord said that I married wrong. All right, I'm good with that. Maybe you did. That's not the wife that I was supposed to have. The wife I was supposed to have was this woman over here. So the Lord said to me that it's okay to divorce this woman and marry that one. I said, the devil is a liar. I don't care how it feels. I don't guess it mattered much that one was 25 years younger than the other one. I tried to tell him, I said, son, you ain't wired for 220. You better stay with that 110, baby. All right, I got to finish. I'm almost done. Come on, quit laughing. Get up here on this keyboard. If you knew that God was calling you, would you ignore the call? In the early service, an amber alert went off. Everybody's phones were going, ah, ah, ah. I looked down and seen what it was. Turned it off. Well, really, I thought it was our alarm going off. But it doesn't matter what I was in the middle of. If I got a call and it said, God, y'all hang on just a minute. Hello? Yes, sir. I just had to see who it was because it said God. I know a couple of Jesuses, but I don't know anybody named God. So I figured if it says God, I better answer. Yeah, right. Well, I'm trying to tell them about it right now, Lord. I'm doing my best, yes, sir. I'm doing my best to tell them. That they can dream bigger and bigger. In order to dream big, they got to talk big and not how to do big. Yes, sir. All right. Well, I sure hope you call me back. I got a lot of questions. All right. Love you too. Now, if you knew God was calling you, wouldn't you answer the phone? Wouldn't you answer the email? In the book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 4. And the Bible says when Moses saw a bush that burned but was not burned up. The Bible says, and when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, I am here. Now I want you to notice that God didn't speak to him until Moses turned to see. What if Moses hadn't been curious? Aren't you curious about what God has for you? It was when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see that he called and changed his world. See, dreams make life expansive. And I want to say this to you, and I'm done. I think. No, I'm not quite done. Because I got to tell you this. Here's my next one. The dreamless are captive to what is, but the dreamers are free to create what could be. The dreamless, the hopeless, well, it is what it is. Right? But it doesn't mean it's got to stay what it is. The dreamless says, I don't have any hope, but that's not what God gives you. God births dreamers. The other building Mama Jones was paid for. But we dreamed. And we built this, and God's filling it up. And we dreamed again, and we just keep dreaming. And it's not good. Matter of fact, God's given me another dream. I said, Lord, let me complete one before you get me on another one. What is it? You'll be hearing about it later. We just dream. Well, Pastor, this is what it... No, it doesn't have to be that way. Free yourself from the confines of never seeing better than where you are. Because listen to me. Oh, good gracious. In a dream, you're debt free. In a dream, you're not living paycheck to paycheck. In a dream, you and your wife ain't fighting every other day. In a dream, you're not tormented in your mind day in and day out. In your dream, you ought not be sick all the time. In your dream, you shouldn't be fed up all the time. In your dream, you shouldn't be confused all the time. See a place. Ecclesiastes 5:3 says this. For the dream comes through much activity. All right, but I don't like that version. Because the New American Standard Bible says, for the dream comes through much effort. Much effort. Just because it's a dream doesn't mean it's going to take place. Listen, Ricky, can I use you? You mind? I just want you to stand up. Some of y'all don't know this, but this is Ricky Feature. Played wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. Yeah. Now, do you have a dream of doing that one day? Now, when you had a dream of playing professional football, did you sit on the bench and just twiddle your thumbs?
No, I didn't.
Because it don't happen. Thank you, Ricky. It don't happen by just dreaming and wishing. Well, Pastor, I really wish I could get off these cigarettes. Why didn't you sign up for the focus class that we got coming on? Is there still time? Yeah. Well, Pastor, I wish my marriage was better. Did you sign up on the Christian, on the marriage was focus group? Well, I tell you, Pastor, I've got some addictions. Did you sign up on Popeye's or George Mudge's purity? What are you doing? Pastor, I want to be a better disciple. Well, did you sign up on one of those many out there? And quit walking powerless when God wants you to be powerful. But you can't be powerful with no knowledge. Listen, in my dreams, I'm 25 pounds lighter. With a six pack. Pow, pow, pow. But the dream, go back. The dream comes through much effort. I don't want to put the effort in. So I really can't say my dream is to be 25 pounds lighter because I'm not willing to put in the work. That's a fantasy. So what are you doing? Are you fantasizing or God dreaming? We can't live a supernatural life and think natural thoughts. I'm going to say it again. We can't live a supernatural life and think natural thoughts. And we can't live a supernatural life and dream natural dreams. Come on, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah, Jesus. We are supernatural people who dream supernatural dreams, talk supernatural talk, and live supernatural lives. Spirit Life Team, come real quickly. I give you my word. I won't embarrass you in here this morning. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I'm not going to ask you to come up here. But if you're in this place and you don't know Jesus, that's where the God dream begins. Asking Him to come into your heart. And if that's you, just lift up your hand. You can put it right back down. Just slip it up where I can see it. And I want to pray with you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.